So if you have been down the street lately, and it hasn't really been that quiet. You know, you've got people rushing all over the place. You've got shopkeepers trying to do a brisk business to sell you gifts that when you give them to someone they might use and they may not use, but we won't go into that one. Mums are being hassled by kids, and kids are hassling mums, particularly to draw them to the games or the electronic segments of the stores to try and get those gifts. Few have time to stop and talk, and they seem to always say, look, we'll catch up in the new year. Now, how many have said that to someone? At least Dominic's being honest. You others, you need to look up the Ten Commandments and talk about, look at thou shalt not lie. At least Dominic's being honest. Yeah, we say, well, yeah, we'll catch up in the new year. Do you ever catch up in the new year? Yeah, no one's going to answer now.
Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. We can picture those busy scenes, and even busier scenes in shopping malls across Australia and in parts of the world where Christmas is celebrated as we would celebrate it. But I got to thinking as I thought about those busy scenes and wondered, how different is the busy scene that we face in our century to the one that took place in the first century? What would Mary and Joseph have experienced as they entered Bethlehem? Just picture the scene in your mind as Joseph and Mary go to Bethlehem from Nazareth. Anyone know how far it is from Nazareth to Bethlehem? It's only a short walk for someone who's 9 months pregnant. No one knows the distance. No one ever bothered to check out the distance. It's about 110 k's. Now that's a short walk for somebody who's 9 months pregnant, isn't it? Or even riding on a donkey. So that begins to make us think about when this all took place. But as they enter Bethlehem, you'd have your stall holders there, much the same as we've got today, selling their wares to the many visitors who have come to Bethlehem for the census. People offering bed and breakfast at highly inflated prices. Donkeys and horses dodging one another in the streets. We have cars. People, dads, mums, families, all seeking lodging for the night or nights from family or friends. When it comes to the Christmas story, we have a very familiar picture in our mind when it comes to the birth of Jesus. Now, I'm about to destroy some of those images, so you can have a word with me after the service if you like, if I've destroyed something that is sacred for you. But who got a Christmas card this year that's got the nativity scene on it? Most of you have got cards this year with that nativity scene on it. Now, did that nativity scene, the first obvious thing is, did that nativity scene show three wise men? Well, you must have had people that were thinking about when they showed it. Yeah, we'll leave out the three wise men. Did that nativity scene show a stable? My next question is, in those verses that Kirsty read out to us, where was the stable mentioned? Okay, yeah, it's not. Where do we get the idea there was a stable? When it's not in God's word. I'll leave you to think about that one. Now, I've got a few more questions like that coming as well. So the nativity scene is somewhat interesting because how have we built that nativity scene in our minds? Where did it come from? Was there a donkey mentioned in those verses that Kirsty read out to us? There wasn't. We assume Mary rode a donkey from Nazareth down to Bethlehem, but it's not mentioned how they got there. In fact, they could have been months earlier to get to Bethlehem before the baby was born, before Jesus was born. And so we have these ideas, and when it comes to that stable scene and the nativity, the Christmas card, what does it depict standing around in that scene? Does it show all the animals? Some of them do. Where does it mention animals in those verses that Kirsty read to us? They're not there. And so we have this picture in our mind of the Christmas nativity scene, but where is it in Scripture? And sometimes we read a lot of things back into Scripture that are not actually there, or not even mentioned. So I think one of the things we need to check when we're looking at Scripture is it actually scriptural? Is what we're doing scriptural? Now, a lot of the carols focus on all those things, and some of the carols we've sung, and they're great carols. Now, that's not to say that what I've said about the nativity scene did not happen. Those things could have happened. But it's just not in the scriptures there for us to see it. You know, Mary riding on a donkey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. I was going to draw a donkey, but I'm not very good with animals up there. But maybe Eleanor could draw a better donkey than I could. But all those things are not mentioned in the scripture. Mary and Joseph found lodging in a stable. Where is it? Where does it mention the stable? You know, we like the nativity scene pictured by the Christmas carols and also the cards. You know, one of the carols we sang this morning, the cattle are lowing. Well, where's that in the scriptures? It's not there. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't sing the carols. We read in Luke 1, and the reason we have all these things in mind is because of one word, a couple of words, but one word in particular that appears there. In Luke 1, verses 6 to 7, we read, while they were there, this is in Bethlehem, the time came for the baby to be born, we know that to be Jesus, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths, and Kirsty explained the cloths there before, and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Why do we think there's a stable? The manger. That's why we think that. Because there is a manger there. And why do we think there's a stable? Because there was no room in the inn. Now, when it comes to inns, inns were not your 20-story buildings, balconies and everything like that. It wasn't that sort of inn we're talking about. An inn in those days was probably just an extra room in the house that you owned that you lent out to people when they came along. So, when it comes to a house, this is probably more what the house looked like. And this side was the room set aside for the inn. So that if Eleanor went to Bethlehem and she was looking for a room to stay in, this would be the side that she would be staying on, this inn. But you've got to remember that everybody was going to Bethlehem. It was the census time. And so this room here would have been crowded. And so what they did in those days was they would dig holes in this section here on this edge to act as mangers for the cattle, the sheep, and whatever else was put into this side so that they would have somewhere to eat. And the baby Jesus was placed in one of these holes and bore there, where he was wrapped in the swaddling clothes, placed on the hay, if there was hay there, and put there. That's the story behind what's happening in these verses. I mean, what husband is going to make their wife walk 110 kilometres when she's 9 months pregnant? Now, I realise there's some men out there that probably could do that. But it should not just happen. So they probably went way before the time the baby was due. No room for them in the inn. I mean, that symbolises a large portion of Jesus' life. Where else does it say there was no room for Jesus? Where else does it say people had no time for him? Go to John's Gospel, and in John 1 verse 11, he came to that which was his own, and what did his own do? Did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. His own people had no room for him. They didn't want him. In Matthew's Gospel, when Jesus is speaking with people who are thinking about, I wonder if it's a good idea to follow Jesus or not. And Jesus says to them, he warns them, he says, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. In other words, Jesus is saying, look, you come follow me, but this world has no room for you, no time for you. Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Matthew 8:20. Jesus is simply revealing the world has no place for those who want to follow him. And as we look at those verses that Kirsty read out, I wonder how much room we've got for Christ. How much room have we got for Christmas? They're two different questions. Now, in the midst of all this Christmas rush and the busyness, let us not lose sight of three things. Let us not lose sight of Christ amidst the Christmas rush. As indicated last Sunday, we can become captivated by Christmas and not by Christ. This morning, we have room for Christmas, but no room for Christ. If we're down the street and we start asking people passing by why they are so busy, how many would be able to respond, well, it's a time to celebrate and remember the birth of our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who has come to deal with the wrath of God. Have we got time for Christ? Or have we left him out? I wonder if it's ever convenient to have time for Christ. Is Christmas ever convenient? I saw a lady in the supermarket one morning who basically stated that the Christmas was at an awkward time of the year for her and her family. And I jokingly said to her, let's move it then to the end of January. And quick as a flash, she said, well, I'm on holidays then. So Christmas is not always convenient. It wasn't convenient for Mary and Joseph. Joseph had to leave behind his only sole source of income, his furniture business, and take his wife to Bethlehem to comply with what Caesar Augustus had laid down. And it does us well to learn from history, from what takes place. This Jesus whom we worship is born at a specific point in history. That's something to think about. Where is the history of Santa Claus? I'm going to destroy some myths this morning. Where's the history of Santa Claus? You know, it's not there. There's no historical facts for it. I mean, okay, we might be able to do some scientific calculations and work out how Santa Claus can get right around the world and distribute gifts only to those who have been good, remember? So there's going to be a lot of people miss out. And get right around the world in whatever it is, 24 hours. He must be a miracle-working man, but there's only one true miracle-working man, and that was Jesus. So Santa Claus doesn't measure up. But Jesus, he was born at a specific point in history. Caesar Augustus during that time. And Luke pinpoints it even further. It was when Quirinius was governor of Syria. So he's pinpointing the exact time when this event took place. Micah did the same thing, a prophet several centuries earlier, when he said, but you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Micah predicted when that birth would take place. The prophet Isaiah writes, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. But the prophecies are there. They spoke of the one that would come. And we read them back in the light of what we know from the gospel accounts. But let's not be too harsh on Joseph. After all, how well do we remember the meaning behind Christmas? Now, of course, Mark and Luke are going to remember the meaning behind Christmas because we've just spent time with the candy cane saying, you know, this is what lies behind Christmas. You know, we can pick up John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Let's lose sight of Christ in the midst of the Christmas rush. But then also, we should not lose sight and forget those who are around us. We might not think that possible as we wish one another a happy Christmas and a prosperous new year. Keep in mind, though, that even this morning, people will have masks on. They're not really going to let those masks down to tell you how they're going at the present time. What about members of our community who will spend Christmas alone? Have we given thought to them? Those in hospital or in a hostel with their family is too far away or they're too busy to come and see them. What about members of our own church who are spending time alone at Christmas? Or you can even have your family close by, there with you, and still feel very much alone. And there is a difference between celebrating Christmas and celebrating the birth of Christ. Much of our nation celebrates Christmas. They're captivated by Christmas. They've got plenty of room for Christmas. But when you start talking about Christ, they have no room at all. Now, it's interesting to read what's not in these verses. Now, if I ask the question, why did Joseph and Mary go to Bethlehem? You're obviously going to be very biblical and say, well, the prophets foretold it. You know, Micah said, out of Bethlehem Ephratah, one will come. Or you'll say, well, no, wait a minute, it says there in those verses that Caesar Augustus made a decree that a census should be taken, and they went to Bethlehem because that was Joseph's hometown. That's why they went to Bethlehem. If they went to his hometown, what do you think they should expect to find there? Now, my hometown is Berrigan. You've probably never heard of it, and that's okay. You've probably never ever travelled through it. But it's a little country town, probably in the middle of nowhere, some would say. And it's there. If I went back to that town, I would expect to find a family member, or maybe even a friend, who was still there. Now, Joseph went to Bethlehem, his hometown, yet there was no room for him or his family. That's interesting, isn't it? There was no room for him. Even his own family had no room. I wonder how many out there at Christmas time are doing it alone because there's no family for them. I caught part of the news last night. There's been a new research figure given out that there are, in the world today, some 60 million refugees. That's a lot. That's probably 2.5 times the size of Australia in population-wise. That's a lot of people. People out there who have no home, have no family or friends that would take them in. They're doing it tough. And if we were to do Matthew's gospel, we see that Jesus was the ultimate refugee there as he fled to Egypt for safety and security as a baby. The other thing we should not lose sight of when it comes to Christmas is the faithfulness of God. In the birth of Jesus, we see something of the fulfillment of the promises made through the Old Testament. And to fulfill those promises, God moved one of the most powerful men in the world, Caesar Augustus, to do his bidding. Now, you might be concerned, and we read it there in the first verse. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. Now, if you were friends with Caesar and you went up to Caesar and said, look, you know, God's going to ask you to have a census taken of your world. What do you think he's going to say? He's going to say, don't be silly. I'm in charge here. I'm the one that makes all the decisions. I will do it. What God is saying is, no, I'm the guy in charge. I'm the one that's decreeing this census took place. Caesar, you're going to do my bidding. Are you concerned that our Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull, might do something you disagree with? Are you concerned that our President Daniel Andrews might do something that we're concerned about? Are you concerned that our Mayor, Adele Hegedyk, I think that's how that second name is pronounced, might do something that we disagree with? Well, God's in charge. He can move the hearts of those three any way he likes. They might not recognise that, but God can still move their hearts. And God was faithful in the moving of the hearts of Joseph and Mary to accept his purposes. Under Jewish law, having a baby out of wedlock, it was not the done thing. They should have been stoned to death. Yet God was faithful to them during that difficult period. At times, do we question what God is doing? Do we question his faithfulness? If he can move in the hearts of a Caesar, then he can move in the hearts of a family member. He can move in the hearts of a friend. He can move in the heart of a neighbour. While God is moving in those hearts, how should we respond? Well, look at Joseph. He could have easily walked away from Mary, just left her. I don't want to do that these days. But he didn't. In Matthew's account of Jesus' birth, we read that God spoke to him and encouraged Joseph to take Mary as his wife. He did what was right and walked obediently to God's commands. So let us find ourselves walking in obedience to God. If we start to question his faithfulness, just look at what he has done. In the busyness of Christmas, keep our focus on Christ. Where's Christ in the midst of our rush around? Have we so filled up the rooms in our lives with all the trappings of Christmas that when it comes to Jesus, we have no room? While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. In that first century, at the time of the birth of Christ, people had no room for him. They shoved him in a lowly cattle shed, as one carol puts it, although we're not sure the cattle shed existed. But can you imagine the response of the innkeeper when he discovered that he had put the King of Kings out the back in a shed? In the busyness of shopping and Christmas, we can overlook the fact that we may not have allowed room for Christ. But let's be honest, Christ wants more than a bit of room in our life. He wants our entire life. He doesn't just want one room. He wants the whole house of our life. He wants all of us. At Christmas time, are we prepared to give him that much room? Are we prepared to allow God's agenda to be our agenda in our lives? Or do we just want God to bless what we're doing? Just think of the room that he has waiting for us in eternity, if we've given room to Christ now.